Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, November the 28th. And I'll say a hearty good day to Canadian sports fans around the world, whether it be morning, afternoon, or evening to you. It's episode number 125 of the Rod Peterson Show, and we've got a lot of ground to cover today. I'm your host, Rod Peterson. He is the co-host, Darren DuPont. How you doing, Dupes?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
You? It's like, I'm Sylvester, you're Tweety.
Yeah.
Suffering succotash. And we'll jump right into it. We got the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, in the bunker with us. How are you doing, Remps?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm doing well.
Is
thanks.
That a good morning well. For you?
For me, it is. Yeah.
Good. I like to hear that. Yep. I'm hoping it is for everybody. Mapping out today's program, Kelly Rudy of Rogers Sportsnet will be on the program. He, of course, is on Hockey Net in Canada, but also Calgary Flames telecast. The Flames are in the news, not in the best of terms, and we'll get to that right away. Darren Dreger will be with us from TSN, the Hockey Insider from Langenberg, Saskatchewan. Rob Vanstone will be with us from the Regina Leader Post, and Tim Reed, the president of Everest Place, which is an interview you're not going to want to miss. I don't know if you guys want to look back or look ahead. That'll be up to you. And I would actually like to involve the viewers as much as I can. We're having a few Facebook issues today. We don't seem to be getting a feed of what the viewers are writing in, but they're watching us. So via Twitter or text, you can steer the discussion today. Prairie Mobile text line 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. Do you want to look back to the Babcock stuff, the Bill Peters stuff? Do you want to look ahead to U.S. Yanks giving NFL games today? I never really realized that was a term, Yanksgiving, for American Thanksgiving, until our sales guy, Tyler, has been running around like crazy with it.
I think you might wish he is American.
He's the only guy I've ever heard use it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I like it, too. I think it's awesome.
Have you, Rams, heard Yanksgiving?
No, but Tyler speaks his own language
Well, hang on. He's from Halifax. And so he's
at talk real slow.
Listen. Yeah, well, speak slower. He's at Agribition. And for a lot of us, Agribition's not a new thing. The world's largest agricultural expo. Can I say it? He's like a kid in a candy store. He's like, these farm girls are hot. You didn't know what I was going to say, did you? This was yesterday as we were manning our tent. We're like, yes, they are. Come to Craven sometime where they're less clothed and drunk. It's even better. Some of the things that we were talking about yesterday at Agribition, it's a great tradition. It's where the world meets. So Yanksgiving, Chicago at Detroit at 11:30 in the National Football League, Buffalo at Dallas. It's the game of the day, 3:30 p.m. Big game for both teams. And then tonight at 7:20, New Orleans at Atlanta. And another thing that's going on is the CFL coaching carousel. I actually, for the most part, love it because it's a lot of fake news, but it gives shows like this and guys like this a lot to talk about, right?
Content. It gives us content.
So Ryan Dinwiddie, of all people, is interviewing with the Ottawa Redblacks today for their head coaching job. And I say of all people because Dinwiddie hasn't even been a coordinator yet. We know Dinner. We love him. We know that he's a great guy. But his name as the head coach of Ottawa kind of surprised me a little bit. It's like he's skipping a couple steps on the ladder there if they hire him as the head coach. And if they do, great. The Edmonton Sun came out with a top six list of potential head coaches to replace Jason Mraz in this morning's edition. And they are Rick Campbell, Tommy Condell, Paul LaPolice, Philip Lawley, who's the current Eskimos defensive coordinator, Jamie Elizondo, and Marcel Belfay. We all know who those six guys are. So we can debate that today.
Yeah.
I also know which one I'd be pegging.
And the other thing is, Paul, maybe it's Lapo that you're saying. Lapo is hot, hot, hot. His stock has never been higher.
No, and it nor should it be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so we will get into this today. He's being linked, or at least teams want to talk to him. BC, Ottawa, Edmonton's expected to. But what about Winnipeg? Does Mike O'Shea even stay? I would think Lapo wants to know if maybe he doesn't have to move. Maybe Mike O'Shea leaves and he becomes head coach of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Now, yes, his wife is from there, Tina, but I've talked to Tina. We've been friends a long time. She's like, don't think that we won't move. It's okay. We can move, right? Family is great, but hey,
making money is better.
Money talks. Who said it?
J.R. Foley.
Right. Money talks, Mr. Whalen.
He also said, let the good times roll and ship ahoy, too. Right. So keep in mind.
So this is the rollout for Flooring Superstore. A lot of things to get to today. Clark has prodded me to say, because we are having Facebook issues, I would say Facebook's having the issues, not us. Let's point that out. If you can click share, please do so, because people are having issues and every share helps. So just go down to the bottom of your screen if you're watching right now and just click share to all your Facebook friends. And if you're having issues throughout the course of the program, we're live throughout it all at rodpeterson.com/listen live. And I'll just lastly say this as I get through the preamble and turn it over to you two lovely and talented guys in the bunker. Our poll question today for Universal Collision Center, Capital Auto Mall, is should the Calgary Flames fire Bill Peters? And I might be a little behind on this. I put this poll up myself. So far of you, 55%. So far, 55% of you say, yes, he's a problem. Fire him. 26% of you say, no, he apologized. Don't fire him. And 19% say they're not sure. I'll start with you, Kelly, because you're the guest of the day. Where are you on all this?
I'm not sure.
Really?
I don't know... I don't know enough about it, right? Because there's two reports out there. There's one that this was just an ongoing, nonstop, racially charged rant that he would incoherently do on a fairly consistent basis. If that's true, out. And I like Bill, but you can't behave like an idiot day in and day out and then think that it's okay. However, in his apology, he indicated that it was an isolated incident that was not directed at one individual. It was something that came out. He knew immediately that it was wrong. The players called him out on it, and he walked right back in the dressing room after the game, and he apologized and said that was completely, completely unacceptable, and I am very sorry. He dealt with it right away. If that's the truth, then I would say that's not grounds for firing him. He apologized immediately. It wasn't directed at one person. Those are two such completely different stories that I have a hard time trying to get my head wrapped around.
Aren't they?
How can they both be right? I mean, on one hand, you got a player that's saying that he picked on me all year. This wasn't once. But Bill's saying, no, that's not true at all. I did make some comments that I would do anything to take back. And I apologized immediately, within 24 hours, to the whole team. And we moved on, and it never resurfaced again. So who do you believe? I don't know.
Well, Darren, you're following this very closely. You wanted to post the letter of Bill Peters, his apology. I haven't read it. But what's your take on all? That's why I said I might be behind on this, because people are saying to me this morning that he's not going to coach at all. That's been determined ever again with the Flames, and they're working out the legalities of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, to not have him on the bench for the game last night, and then they win. I mean, what, they had lost 7 of 8? That's enough reason, you know, if you want to let a guy go. There's enough grounds just from the team on the ice, and then they win when he's not there. But, you know, I'm with Kelly, too, a little bit in the fact that He wrote the letter, and he did come out, and he owned it. And he said, look, I made a mistake, but right away I went right back into the room, and I apologized. Now, when I say all this stuff about we don't live in the same world as we did 10 years ago, and we don't live in the same world as we did yesterday, and those kinds of things, yes, mistakes happen, and we should be allowed to grow and change. So if this happened, and it did, he's owning it, and everything along the way apparently has been proven to be true. If he made that mistake, realized it, and he's made steps to not do those things and to be a different person, then I'm okay if he's changed. But if that situation and that attitude and that behavior has continued, whether it's abusing players mentally or different ways, and whether it's using racial terms, if that's continued and you're just apologizing now that you've been caught and you actually haven't changed your behavior over the past decade, then I got a real problem.
Well, Kelly's nodding like it's Kelly Rempel bobblehead day. It's exactly what you're saying, right? Pretty much. So I want to move on. That's the take on that. And we'll see by the end of the day if Bill Peters is fired or not by the Calgary Flames or where that goes next. Do you want to move on to football?
Sure.
Are you done on that or you got something else?
No, not really. Just other than the only thing that I would add to it is the truth eventually is going to come out, right? And then we'll know then. I just find it very interesting that the players that have been talked to in the last, say, 10 years, you don't find many guys, if any, that say, yeah, I mean, he was doing it 2 years ago. This is like something that was going on 10 years ago, not recently. However, there's a big difference between doing it once and making blurting something out or constantly taking right. an African-American player or a brown player and just constantly throwing certain words in his face, two very different things. So who knows what goes on here?
Yeah, well, I don't know how the Flames are, how they're conducting this investigation, but if it's, what do you got?
No, just the kind of the latest that I was sent to me this morning, just now, a statement from Akeem Aliyu, the accuser in the situation, just the last little bit is, says, I have read the statement from Bill Peters, which I found to be misleading, insincere, and concerning. I have accepted an invitation from the NHL to meet and discuss the situation. Out of respect for that process, I will not respond publicly to the statement or discuss the racism and discrimination that I've endured until after my meeting. Well, isn't this responding to the statement?
Yeah, I guess so.
But anyway,
I'm on board as not thinking they're going to fire Bill Peters. Now, I don't think I have all the information here as I sit here today, but if it's an isolated incident, can't be proven otherwise, from 10 years ago with another organization, and if they really like Bill Peters as their coach, I don't think that they'll fire him. And from what I've gathered in the last 24 to 48 hours, Flames fans really like Bill Peters. Why wouldn't they really, from a hockey perspective? They finished first in the Western Conference last year. So I get where their fans are coming from. The Flames, I don't think, want to fire Bill. So moving on to the football thing, again, I'm reading on Facebook some of the comments that have come in here on my laptop. Somebody asked if Ryan Dinwiddie had been the offensive coordinator with the Montreal Alouettes before. I don't believe he was that high up in the organization. Maybe he was, but we skimmed real fast past this coaching carousel thing. And Kelly, I want your take on Paul Appelese. Is he the hottest commodity in the CFL entering this offseason?
He would be for me. He would be for me. Paul, okay, let's back up. I think you've probably sensed by my tweets and whatever, like it just, and maybe I should stop doing this because here's an example of something that gets me in trouble sometimes. I love Craig Dickinson, not to kind of go in a totally different direction. I love Craig, but his game management sometimes just drives me crazy. Not knowing when to use a timeout, not knowing when to tell a player to not give up a point. I think the game sometimes for some of these guys, and it happens in the NFL to seasoned Andy Reid types where they get so caught up in their what they're doing that they forget that there's a game going out there that they have to manage. Paul, to me, would be like a Kent Austin type. It would never happen. I just think this guy is so astute and so crisp in terms of his preparation, his planning, his understanding of the game, his understanding of offense, defense, and specialty teams. I mean, you don't have to be a defensive coordinator type to understand defense. I think he, of all of the guys, just strikes me as that guy that would be so sharp that he would never screw up, like, oh, geez, I should have called the timeout and I forgot. Or, well, I thought that they moved the chains. I thought it was a first down. It wasn't? Oops. Like, it's inexcusable to have these things happen over and over and over again at that level of football. And I don't think he would make those kinds of mistakes. So I think that not only would he inject a totally different, I mean, you talk about, you know, Trevor Harris and his development.
I was just going to say, can I interject? Let's flip it around from Paul's perspective. If he has his choice between BC, Ottawa, and Edmonton, or maybe Winnipeg, let's just assume Mike O'Shea moves on. Who are you taking? I think Edmonton's probably the most attractive of all those teams because you just mentioned Trevor Harris. Look Trevor at the talent up there.
Talent. You know, I think sometimes you these guys look at it and they go, who gives me the potential, like the up ceiling? I got nowhere to go but up.
Secondly, he's not taking over a tire fire.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and he's got talent.
Is he going to come in and take over as head coach and offensive coordinator?
Oh,
because that's my. But that's my. You say yes, he wouldn't.
No, I guess he would, or at very least, he would have his fingerprints all.
Well,
over.
and that's it. And it's about, you know, how much is he managing, you know, the team and the offense, and you got to remember, I think a little bit is once he becomes a head coach, you don't necessarily get the Grey Cup winning offense that you had in Winnipeg. Because you don't necessarily have his 1,000% full attention on offense. So let's not
Could be a problem.
Could be an issue. Now, not that he can't handle it, but a lot of guys get taken out of areas where they have success and get bumped up to management, and it becomes a little different, more about managing people than it is about actually executing a game plan and doing all your prep. Now you're dealing with a guy who's got concerns because he misses his family, and you're dealing with all these money issues, guys who want bonus. Like, you're dealing with all these other issues, and you're not in the film as much. It's the same thing of being on the air, right? We're dialed into the news of the day, but now I got to remember that the garbage has got to go out and the coffee's got to get made and Clark with the Facebook stuff that's up. And you're dealing with so many different things that I'm not reading the latest on Bill Peters or the latest on, you know what I mean? So your attention gets split a little bit. But for all the reasons you said, I have no reason to believe that it's not something Paul LaPolice can handle. I think he can.
This is the rollout for Flooring Superstores. If you were in the market for new flooring for your home or office, they're the ones to check out, Flooring Superstore and the Dickin family. That's just scratching the surface of our Thursday chat today. A little CFL there, some Bill Peters waiting word with the Calgary Flames, what they're going to do with their head coach. The Dub fans, Remps, and I know you've been paying attention to them on Twitter because they've been tagging you. They're like, great, CFL's over. We can talk junior hockey. I'm cool with that, too. We'll get into that with you here in hour one. Because people want to know, what's with the dumpster fires in Saskatchewan? This was not planned in some markets, particularly Saskatoon. Moose Jaw doesn't qualify as a dumpster fire, does it?
Not a dumpster fire, but they're
knee deep
in a full-on rebuild, and nobody's surprised, I don't think. I think we're surprised they won as many games.
And Clark is telling me that Darren Dreger is ready right after the break, so we'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Thursday morning. Oh, you want to talk about Labardius's wedding, do you?
No, he probably doesn't, though, the way I treated him. I have to apologize.
That and more when we come back. It's the Rod Peterson Show, Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
The biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a newer used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Coming up on the program today, Kelly Rudy. Rob Vanstone from the Leader Post, he's got his new book out, 100 Things Rider Fans Should Know Before They Die. And Tim Reed, the president of Evraz Place. We're hosting the 2020 Grey Cup. Lots of things to talk with Tim about. But we're not going to wait any longer. We are going out on the video chat. Darren Dreger joins us, the TSN Hockey Insider. And good morning, Dregs. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Rod. How are you?
Good, good. Before we delve into the hockey talk, Kelly has a very interesting recollection of Peter Labardius' wedding that you got thrown into an MC role last minute because the regular MC didn't want to do it.
No, not quite. I think it was supposed to be a joint venture between you and Toth, and then for some reason at the last minute, he got some anxiety. You ended up taking on the whole responsibility, and instead of showing you the respect that you so rightfully deserved, I got up there, and I think probably the Velcro gloves and rubber boots joke probably you didn't deserve.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, now which wedding are we talking about?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. The first or second,
Peter? yeah, that's right. Yeah, I believe it was in Edmonton, and I might have been number two. It might have been Peter's number two. Yeah.
Well, anyway, I do remember it being a pretty classy affair. There's no question about that. I wasn't anxious. I wasn't nervous about it. Although I remember looking across that room and thinking, I'm surrounded by big mouths. And Rempel, you are right up there with among the biggest mouths of the group. And the one thing I will say is, I take a little bit of pleasure in, and I get chirped for my gray hair all the time. People think that I've gone prematurely gray at 51 years of age. At least I'm not vying for a sub-in Santa Claus look like you got going right now.
Well, more than fair.
Totally down the road I didn't expect. You guys do advertise Control GX, by the way. It works great. I talked to Bob Weeks about it. But anyways, Rich Sutter was with us yesterday, and he said it's been a very rough 48 hours for the hockey world. Can you talk about that? Because you're the insider of it.
Yeah, it really has been. And, you know, I think we can go a little bit further back. No one wants to connect, with good reason. You know, the situation in Toronto in Mitch Marner's rookie year, where Mike Babcock asked him to do something that, you know, was unacceptable in ranking his teammates. But, you know, the truth is, there is somewhat of a connection from there to the Bill Peters scenario and then to Bill Peters in Carolina. And the simple connection is that the players now feel, understandably, appreciably, that they have a voice. They don't have to put up with it anymore. And that started with Mitch Marner acknowledging that the incident in question actually happened. And Mike Babcock, even though he'd been fired, didn't shy away from it. He too acknowledged that, yes, he did this at the time. He did realize that it was a bad idea to ask a young player to do this. And he apologized at that time. But I think that opened a door. I mean, it obviously did, because Hakeem Aliyu, who made the racial allegations directed at Bill Peters, you know, went to Twitter on Monday night and made the connection from Mike Babcock to Babcock's, quote, protege, who, as we know, is Bill Peters of the Calgary Flames. And that's where we're at today. But today now we're looking for a finality to that saga. Bill Peters, the racism allegations that date back to 2009 in the American Hockey League. What went on more recently when he was on the bench of the Carolina Hurricanes. And ultimately, the conclusion comes in, what will the Calgary Flames do, if not today, then in the very near future? And there's no inside information here. I think it's a reasonably safe assumption that the Calgary Flames are likely going to fire Bill Peters. But they've had to wrestle with a lot of lawyering, as is the National Hockey League, and likely Peters as well, to get to the point that we may get to as early as later today.
Right. I guess the reason one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on is just get the latest. And the latest is that we don't know, basically, right? Somebody has told me on Twitter this morning that Peters have been told he won't be coaching again. Is that true, or have you heard anything like that? That would be pretty inside stuff. I'd be surprised if that was out.
Yeah. I don't believe that's the case. You know, not to parse words here, but by coaching again, are we talking about ever, or are we talking about coaching again
with Calgary? The Flames? Yeah.
And what I know is, and this is as of 10 minutes ago, Rod, the Calgary Flames obviously left Buffalo last night. So they got in back to Calgary late. My understanding is that Brad Treliving, the general manager, is back on the case right now, and probably tying up whatever loose ends still remain in this case. But as of 10 minutes ago, there was nothing official. And I would extend that to, the final status of Bill Peters. Again, we're assuming that the Calgary Flames are going to cut ties. That's the assumption based on everything that, you know, we've dug up and we've been informed of in the last couple of days. But until the Calgary Flames issue that announcement, it's still somewhat speculative to a degree.
Okay. To funner things, and then I'll let you go. U.S. Thanksgiving, they say, is the time in the NHL that you know what you have as a team, right? And since today is U.S. Yeah. Thanksgiving, who in your mind are the real contenders? Who's maybe the pretenders that the first couple months have been a smokescreen?
Yeah, it's a tough question and it's an obvious answer. I look at the Washington Capitals as being a prime Stanley Cup favorite team. That's obvious. You know, the Boston Bruins have dealt with adversity, yet that team looks as ready to win again as any team out there. The Western Conference, for me, is a bit more of a crapshoot. I'm curious at the success of the St. Louis Blues, whether or not they can continue to sustain that. I have no reason to question it. I just want to see it unfold. What about the Edmonton Oilers? I mean, we counted this team out relatively early in the regular season. They wouldn't be able to sustain it. They can't keep the power play numbers up. Their penalty kill can't be this good. They need help in their bottom six. Is their goaltending going to be good enough? Well, they keep doing it. They keep doing it. And it's not just because of the electrifying efforts of Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. That's a big part of the success story. But I think that there's still some questions that we need answers for coming out of Edmonton. And maybe we see that in the second half. But to your point on U.S. Thanksgiving today and the fact that, you know, you normally find out who your pretenders are and your contenders are, I think that that's fair. But I'll tell you this much, guys. Normally by this time in the calendar, we've got a good handle on which teams are most interested in adding pieces. You know, it's not an unofficial trade deadline by any stretch, but teams do know what they need and what they can live without. I don't know that today. I don't know that today. I don't know that the New Jersey Devils, you know, are willing to cut bait on Taylor Hall anytime soon. I think you've got some smaller pieces. I expect that the Islanders are going to finally do something to end the exile with Josh Hosang, who's an intriguing piece. But beyond that, man, it's slow moving. And that could be more to do with all the teams that are scrapped because of long-term injury issues in the salary cap.
Interesting. Less than a month away from the World Juniors. Who do you see, or do we know anything about guys getting released, specifically a guy familiar around here in Kirby Dach?
Yeah, we don't. Kirby Dach has been really, really good. Obviously, mm-hmm. based on what we've seen out of him at the NHL level. I recall Bob McKenzie, of course, my colleague, talking about this a couple of weeks ago and referencing the possibility of it. I still feel, even though it's looming, that it's a little bit early, but we know this because we've seen it historically speaking. NHL clubs value the experience of the World Junior Championship because they like seeing, even though these are NHL quality players, top-end guys measuring up peer versus peer at the highest level, and that is the World Junior Championship. The issue that you have, of course, is, you know, can you afford to lose that player, even though he's so young, from your NHL roster? So I think that there are some pretty big decisions that need to be made in a short period of time here.
One more with Rempel. He says he's got a story before we let you go.
No, this is a good one. This is a good one.
Okay.
So the first game of color I ever did with Rob Carney, but way back in, I think it was 1991, and you'll remember, Darren, back in the days that you were doing play-by-play for the Wheat Kings, and it wasn't exactly a full barn every night. There's about 700 or 800 people in there. Karn says, just so you know, Kelly, you have to come up with your own intermission guest in the second intermission. That's up to you. I said, okay, no problem. Totally forgot. So we're in the break with about 4 minutes to go to the intermission. And Carnes says to me, he says, so who do you got for an intermission? And my face turned white. He goes, you have 4 minutes to get an intermission guest. And he was mad at me. So I actually ran into the booth while Darren was calling the game and wrote down on a piece of paper, will you be my intermission guest? Please, please, please. And he accommodated me. He came out, did it for me. We had a great time, talked about all kinds of things. So I want to thank you for that, Darren, for saving me back in the Keystone Center 28 years ago. Yeah. And the next time, as a token of my appreciation, the next time Labardius gets married, I'll do nothing. I'll treat you with dignity and respect. How's that?
I appreciate that. And I assume the check is still in the mail for bailing you out. And
with
let
interest.
Me leave you with this. Yeah, I haven't talked to Rob Kearney in many, many, many years, probably dating back to my time out west. Does he still wear those ridiculously cheap suits?
And, of course. And he's got more of them.
Slick back his hair and he's, yep. the funky goggles. I mean, that man had a style. Well, it was a style. Let's just leave it at that. But I had a lot of laughs back in the day with Rob Kearney.
So much.
He looked like
Brother Love from WD. He had a brand before branding was
That's
a thing.
Fair.
All right.
No kidding.
Dregs, thanks so much, man. Continue on the trail, and we're watching, of course. I appreciate the time today.
All right. Thanks, fellas.
TSN hockey insider Darren Dreger, proud Saskatchewan guy. And we all love those Dub stories. We never, ever get tired of them. Got a note here. Because our Facebook wall's somewhat down, we can't see the viewers' comments. I went in on my laptop. Matt Kellett's watching from Calgary this morning. You guys remember Matt Kellett, former Rams kicker, won a Grey Cup with the Lions, played for the Eskimos, Alouettes, and Renegades. His quote was, "This is awesome. Congrats, Rod. The show is awesome."
Oh,
And I think 125 episodes in, I'm still trying to figure out why it is that everybody thinks it's so awesome. That interview there is a good example. You're seeing guys out of their element.
Yeah.
The real guys, right?
Speaking of number 25, we got to get Mike Keane on the show.
Actually, I had Jeff Friesen written down. How dare you? Friesen played for the Pats when you were with the Pats. How could you forget Jeff Friesen?
I didn't. I just said we got to get Mike Keane on the show sometime. Yeah, speaking of number 25.
Yeah. Is that what he was?
I love Jeff.
I thought Mike Keane was 12.
In the NHL. But with the Warriors, he was 25.
Okay.
I love Friesen.
I'm glad you brought that up, by the way. The number thing.
The greatest line ever.
Which one?
Well, Jeff Friesen back in the day. Everybody piling on him because he wasn't taking high school full courses. And everybody's like, these guys should be going to school full time. And somebody in the media asked him, I think it might have been Vanstone, I think, asked him, so Jeff, you're taking all this heat and your family's taking all this heat because you go to O'Neill, but you only take one class or you're not dedicated to school. And he says, listen, some people want to be doctors. Some people want to be lawyers. Some people want to be mechanics. I want to be a hockey player. That's where my focus is. Sorry. And it was like, okay, next question.
I believe
what a great answer.
Told the principal he was going to buy the school and burn it down. That was a story I heard.
That I don't
remember. I came to the Pats in 1995, all I heard was Jeff Friesen stories for years about what a guy he was.
How can you be surprised that that's what's going through the mind of an 18-year-old, or a 17-year-old, right?
Well, he was the only one that wasn't going to school, so I guess it was
scored
a logical
50 fact. Goals as a 16-year-old.
Yep.
Think about that for 1 second. Yeah. So a couple 25s, Jeff Friesen, Mike Keane, as Rem says. Is that in the rafters of the Rempel Temple?
I think it is.
25 Keane?
Yeah.
And Darnell Nurse, somebody has pointed out from your Edmonton Oilers.
Jeff Rosner.
We've got, he's become a good friend of mine.
Jeff?
I'll tell you in the break. Kelly Rudy coming up in hour one. They tell me right after the break we should pause right now. It's the Rod Peterson Show on a Thursday morning, November 28th, episode 125 on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life. But I'm talking fourth quarter, monster hit, crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a rush game.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and tune in. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Rod Peterson Show continues. This is Hour 1, a sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Flames head coach Bill Peters apologized to GM Brad Treliving in a letter that was released to media 2 days after a former player alleged that Peters directed racial comments at him 10 years ago in the minors. Peters was not with the Flames in Buffalo for their 3-2 overtime win on Wednesday. Darren Dreger was just with us from Toronto. He says there is no update today as we speak on Bill Peters with regards to his future. Kelly Rudy coming up in moments from Rogers Sportsnet and the Flames broadcast crew. Patrick Laine recorded a goal and two assists as the Jets defeated the San Jose Sharks 5-1 Wednesday night. The Colorado Avalanche scored 3 third-period goals in just over 2.5 minutes to secure a 4-1 win against the Oilers. Connor McDavid's 11-game point streak came to an end in that game. The resurgent Toronto Maple Leafs are enjoying life under new head coach Sheldon Keefe. Andreas Johnsson had 2 goals and an assist as Toronto routed the skidding Detroit Red Wings 6-0 for their third straight win since Keefe got the job. Bruins kept rolling. They won their 5th straight, 2-1 over Ottawa. Vancouver fell 8-6 to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Is that an 80s score or what? 8-6,
yeah.
Vancouver-Pittsburgh.
That was wild.
And the Raptors spoiled Canadian RJ Barrett's homecoming. Pascal Siakam tied a career high with 3 5-pointers and had 31 points overall to lift the Raptors to a 126-98 drubbing of the Knicks. RJ Barrett, one of the top rookies in the NBA. He's from Mississauga, but didn't win the game. That is your Thursday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. We are going to the video chat. We've got Kelly Rudy with us, a man who needs absolutely no introduction. Good morning, Rudes. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. It's your debut on the program. How are you?
Yes, thank you. What's this, 125 episodes?
Yes.
126?
This is 125 today.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you, Kelly. It's a lot of fun. And we do recognize sports figures who've worn the number corresponding to the show number. So today we're recognizing number 25s, and that includes Jeff Friesen, Mike Keane, Darnell Nurse. So trust me, I got you in mind for 132. It's coming up in a couple weeks' time. So, one of my favorite numbers, of course, Kelly Rudy. Kel, the NHL's a lot of fun. Hockey's a lot of fun. But this week has not been a lot of fun, I bet. Can you take us through your take as a guy on that Flames broadcast?
So Monday night, the Flames played in Pittsburgh. They lost in overtime. It was maybe one of the best games that the Flames had played in, if not the season, in a long, long time. So Rick Ball and I were leaving the broadcast booth, and he said, "Did you get the email?" And I hadn't looked yet, and he filled me in about the circumstances and what was going on, and Akeem Alou and the alleged incident from when he played in the minors. And immediately when Rick told me the nature of it, I was pretty darn worried. I thought this is very, very serious. This is not going to go away in a few hours, and this is going to be something that is going to be a situation that's going to last for a long, long time. And I heard you just say that Darren Dreger said that there's no update today. So all I can tell you is I thought the Flames handled it as well as you could possibly handle a situation like this. As Brad Tree Living said many, many times, they're trying to be transparent. And as you know, there are further allegations from Michael Jourdan, the player for the Carolina Hurricanes, that alleges also that there is physical abuse. So this is a situation that we wish was not around the game of hockey. But I'll tell you this, Rod, I think moving forward, this might give some people a voice that out there feel that they're being threatened, people are treating them aggressively, being dismissive towards them, humiliating them, whatever the case may be. I hope that they're not only professional and amateurs out there in our sport, other sports, maybe in a band class somewhere, in a dance class, feeling the same sort of way. And we have to make sure that we get rid of people that are making people feel that way. It's a society with social media. I'm not trying to be too deep here, but it's a society with social media, boy, that it's getting mean. And I thought social media was meant to spread positivity and love, and it's not happening.
Kelly, that's such a great point. You know, not to compare the two, but, you know, we talked about the Marner-Babcock situation, but Mike Babcock owned it and said, I did that, and it was a terrible, stupid thing of me to do. I wish I could take it back. I can't. This is different, though, in the Flames situation, Kelly, because on one hand, you've got a player that's essentially saying that Bill Peters has treated him specifically in a very poor way for a long time, many times. But the apology that Bill Peters had almost implied that it was an isolated incident, that he used language he shouldn't have, but it was sort of, he kind of threw it out there and it should have offended everybody. It wasn't directed at one person. So somebody's not telling the truth because they're not really the same story. Am I the only one that finds that a bit odd that at this point Bill Peters is essentially saying that didn't happen? It was a generic comment that wasn't intended for one person?
Well, the apology, I think, speaks for itself. I think that the people that represent Bill or the people that he's hired came up with the apology. And this, it seems to me, I'm not a lawyer. I don't know much about law when it comes with this sort of stuff. So it seems to me like this is going to be a long, ongoing situation. And so the apology was... I'm sure it was sincere because I know Bill, but I also think that it was in a way to protect himself because what's going to happen down the road. So, I don't have much to say about the apology because it's kind of what we all expected. He's got a team behind him, and I guess he has that right, and he should.
To hockey, Kelly, I wonder, you being the former goalie that you are, how much you examine the play of David Rittich and Cam Talbot, and do you ever wonder why they play who and when and for how long and what stretches? I mean, what's your analysis of the Flames' goaltending situation in the crease?
Well, David Rittich has far exceeded anybody's expectations. He has been unbelievable. Like, I don't know if you had a chance last night to watch the game here in Buffalo.
Some of it,
but he was a rock star. Period. Yeah, he had 15 shots against in the third, and that always isn't an indication how tough the period was. You know, you can have 15 shots and only three of them dangerous, but I thought Buffalo had somewhere around 10 or 11 high quality scoring chances in the third period. So David was incredible. I think the Flames would like to have Cam Talbot in there more. His body work isn't large, so it's a little bit hard to critique his play. Excuse me, although it's been good. I think the Flames definitely feel like they have to get Talbot in there. In fact, I do know that their intent on this road trip was to play Talbot last night, but Rittich was just been playing so well. And, you know, their schedule lightens up. So they go home, they have a game on Saturday, and then they don't play again until next Thursday at home versus Buffalo. So I don't know if that means that Riddick's going to get a little bit of rest and work on his game a little bit with the goalie coach, Jordan Siglett, and they might throw Cam Talbot in there. And or because the rest is, does that mean that David Rittich is going to play more? I do find it odd, guys, and I don't know why this started this year and maybe crept into the league a little bit last year. I have no idea why coaches feel that a goalie can't play back-to-back.
That's been thank you.
Right?
Yeah, the forwards do it. The defensemen do it.
Well, and all of us goalies did it forever. I know it's a different game, but you know, there are other times where you can rest a starter. It doesn't have to be just on the back end of a back-to-back. You know, if you manage the guy's minutes properly in his practice time, he can play back-to-back. And if you work with the goalie coach and the goalie himself, you can find other days in a schedule that he can have the night off, and it just doesn't have to be on the back end.
Well, that's the thing is those Flames coaches know that you're a legitimate superstar as a player. Do you just sit there and just stay out of it? Or do you ever offer your insight? Do they invite you into these discussions? Because I feel the same way.
That's interesting. I was told, because I worked on Hockey Night in Canada exclusively until, what, six seasons ago when Rogers Sportsnet got the NHL deal. And then I added the Flames color analyst and I had a conversation with a number of guys that do the same job I do now, the color analysts. And I said, what do I do if they ask me my opinion? Or what do I do if they ask me into a meeting or sit beside them on a plane? And everybody had a different answer. So I've basically taken the approach that I don't offer an opinion. And if I'm asked, I rarely ever give an opinion. I'm not a paid coach, so I stay out of it. I do have my opinion on the broadcast, and especially on Saturday nights, where I feel that my voice, it's different than being a Flames analyst, where, you know, you're on a team plane and stuff. So I think Saturday night is my opportunity to share my thoughts.
Good. Well, we enjoy it, man. Keep it up, Kelly. Appreciate the time. Huge fan here, as you know. And please say hi to Donna when you get a chance. Big Rider fan. Love you guys. Thanks for the time.
Okay. Love you guys too. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Kelly Rudy joining us from the road with the Calgary Flames. And I just don't get it. Kelly, like you, Darren, are always asking for advice from your mentors. I'm always asking for advice from people that have been through. I just don't understand why people wouldn't ask a guy like Kelly Rudy or these guys who's sitting right there. Can we play this guy in the next night, back-to-back nights? They don't. No team wants to do it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I know, and it's. I don't know how much.
It's a sign of strength to ask.
I don't know how much of this comes from, like, you know, it's big in basketball. Load management has become a thing, and load management coaching
making more money than ever.
Every time you have an opportunity to get an edge, or you think you've learned something in the game, that now we have to adopt this, and we have to adopt the load management. But yeah, if your starting goaltender is that much better, play him. But then also, you know, it's now becoming, I think, a little bit of a labor dispute too, and I think that's a reason that plays into the overtime and the ties and having a shootout. We'd love to see over. I love continuous overtime when it goes three or four overtimes. It's fun. It's you're up till the middle of the night. That's great, but the players can't do that every night when you got to play the next day. And it's the same thing when you get into world championships and Olympic games. You can't play four overtimes in a semifinal and not in the, and then play the final the next night or 2 days later.
But we're not talking about that.
So they want to get paid more. So I'm wondering now if the goaltenders, though, are coming back too with their agents and being like, look it, you can sign this deal, but he better only be playing 45 games a year.
They'd better not be
or
doing
50
that.
Games a year.
I'd be interested
but,
to see
but
what
I think
is
that's
in
where
contract.
It's going to go. And I think that's where it's going in basketball too.
So, again, what we love about this program is the interactive nature. We also love all of our viewers, but particularly those whom we know by name. Avon Coburn writing in today, and I don't know where AC is other than to say happy U.S. Thanksgiving to everybody. So happy Thanksgiving, AC, former Rider assistant coach, a Hamilton Tiger Cats great He was with the Alouettes, too. A guy who's actually, could I call him a CFL legend?
Yeah.
He's won great cups.
Oh, yeah.
Avon Coburn checking in this morning from the United States for Yanksgiving. And he obviously was watching the rollout when I talked about the potential coaches, head coaches in the CFL. If you missed it, the Edmonton Sun came out with a list of the top six names to be the next coach of the Eskimos. Rick Campbell, Tommy Condell, Paul Lapolis, Philip Lawley, Jamie Elizondo, Marcel Belfay. I didn't see specifically what AC wrote in. It flew by on the screen, but it was something to do with why not Richie Hall?
Yeah.
And, well, one, they're not going to rehire. They're not the New York Yankees. There it is. What about Richie Hall? Lapolis should get his shot, but I think that one has done it before and know what he should have done better is Coach Richie Hall. Well, he's not going to get hired in Edmonton because he was already the head coach in Edmonton and he got fired there. So I'm sure AC is not talking about Richie with regards to Edmonton. I'm not sure Richie wants to be the head coach again. I haven't talked to him about that. I do talk to Richie quite a bit, but I've not asked him that.
Yeah.
And what did I say yesterday? All coaches want to be a top dog.
Of course.
They do.
Of course.
So maybe Richie does want to be the next head coach. And I think AC's just throwing Richie's name out to pump his tires a little bit.
Well, and we should be, you know, appreciative and really respectful of the job he did with that Winnipeg defense. He did a great job. That secondary
wasn't, saying it all year.
Wasn't that great. They've had some holes in the secondary, and he did a good job of putting that group together and getting them back on track. Interesting thing for me in Edmonton, in the article, was it the Edmonton Sun that the article came from?
Yeah.
With the list of head coaches. Outside of Rick Campbell, not one with really that's a head coach. They're all coordinators, right?
Yeah, Marcel Belfay would be the only one
that has some head coaching experience, right? But he was a coordinator, wasn't he? Or he's in the scouting system, I guess, in Edmonton. And nobody's seen him on the road. We all just sit there and be like, well, we're going to find the next great head coach of all time instead of wanting to hire a head coach with some experience who's maybe done this before. And I think that's something that maybe bit BC in the butt last season, hiring Devon Claybrooks and a rookie head coach and a rookie staff with a team that's ready to compete. You know, if you got a team that's ready to compete and win now, you better have a coach that's ready to compete and win now, not a coach who's now got to be transition to becoming a head coach and get comfortable with that and grow a little bit.
I see Kelly's wheels spinning, so I'll hand you the floor in a moment, other than to say, with this coaching merry-go-round, coaching carousel, it is a hell of a lot of fun to talk about. It is fake news and conjecture, but I also hate it because I would think you don't fire a coach until you know who you in the back of your mind would want, wouldn't you? I mean, I understand some do. We're going to get rid of this guy and then we'll have an open audition. I get that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, but I don't like, I've never understood the parade of coaches coming through for interviews. Like in Ottawa, does Marcel Desjardins not know who he wants as his next head coach? I'd be shocked if he didn't. It's not going to be Jamie Elizondo because he left on bad terms. Maybe it'll be Paul Lapolis. Maybe it'll be Ryan Dinwiddie. But this thing that came out yesterday, Farhan Lalji on Twitter. Where did I write it here? BC and Ottawa have asked for permission to speak with Paul Lapolis. How does that get public? That should be as simple as Ed Hervey and Marcel Desjardins calling Kyle Walters, asking for permission, or the president, Wade Miller, and then they talk. Why? How does that get public? And why?
Nothing,
not saying I have a problem with
nothing's
it.
Nothing's a secret.
No, it's Farhan doing his job. He calls and says, hey.
I'm not saying I have a problem with that. I just don't understand. Yeah. Why does it need to be? Go hire the guy. Why do you need to dick around
with
all this pageantry, this pomp and circumstance?
Well, okay, but no, I agree with what you're saying to a point, but I think during the season, you have to have your ducks lined up. You don't fire somebody on a Wednesday and then have absolutely, and then go through a full-blown interviewing process, or at least that's not typically how it's done. Typically, you've got somebody lined up and you pull the trigger and you bring the new person in. But when you fire them at the end of the season and you've got months to make sure that you get the person that you want. Maybe you don't know who you want for sure, but you know who you don't want, right? So there's a difference there. But getting to your point earlier about the experience thing, I think you're right to a point, Darren, but you know, somebody had to give Bill Belichick his first job.
Yep.
Right? Somebody had to give, you know, Wally Buono or Don Matthews or some very successful coaches their first job. So I've always kind of looked at it a little differently in the sense that what's now we're not talking about the same thing here, but I'm just going to go in a different direction. What's never made sense to me is why a guy who's been fired in four different cities, why would you want to hire that guy? If he got fired with four different teams, obviously he can't have been the greatest coach that ever walked the face of the earth, because four different teams at some point said that he wasn't cutting it. But in the case of a guy who maybe had one bad experience or maybe he did a lot of winning, hey, look, there's been a lot of coaches over the years that, you know, like, look, just to switch gears a little bit and talk about a different sport. But what have guys always said about guys like Pat Burns? He's a great coach, or Mike Keenan.
Short shot.
Great coach for a year or two.
Exactly.
If you want a guy to come in for 1 year and put you over the top, Pat Burns, Mike Keenan, whatever. But
yeah.
But don't plan on having him there for 4 or 5 or 6 years.
For sure.
Because there it just guys aren't gonna pay attention for that long.
I think about that in BC, if the team that's got Mike Riley and Burnham and they've got some weapons and potentially could win, or Edmonton. You know, here's, and we're not gonna throw his name out because he's still got a job, but Corey Chamberlain comes in, right? He's a guy who took a team in Saskatchewan that was ready to win and talent, and he got him over the hump. But he's not a guy that can grow with a new team and be there for multiple years. You get that, right? Being self-aware about that. So I'm with you on that for sure. So that's what I'm saying about teams that, if they think they're going to compete for a Grey Cup, why are we giving guys a first-time opportunity to be a coach here? That's when you want somebody who can just, who's done it before and can say, hey, look, I'm going to bring these guys together for a couple of years, and then we'll bring in the coordinator, give him his first opportunity, and grow with him in the rebuild.
Edmonton doesn't seem to be like a huge mess, and I'm with Kelly in that if you're Paul Lapolis and you have a choice of teams, Edmonton's probably the one that's the best set. Are they a Grey Cup contender? Maybe. They have the talent. BC just seems like a huge mess.
Yeah.
Because let's just assume you hire Paul Lapolis to be head coach and offensive coordinator. Then you're smoking the current OC out there, Jarius Jackson, right? It's just this whole coach's salary cap thing is ridiculous. And Jim Hobson had some great thoughts on that yesterday. Said this needs to be looked at. I just want to point out a couple things here. People are writing me on Twitter saying, can't log in on Facebook, so I'm sending them the actual link to listen live. And yet, you want to see?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's
I got as plain as day on Facebook.
For sure.
Paul is checking in. Paul, our Paul, from Agribition. Vanstone's in your chair, Paul. It's okay, RV. Paul's at Agribition with all the... all the buckle bunnies.
And if you actually, if you can't log into Facebook, I'm pretty sure we're live at rodpeterson.com, the video as well.
Yeah, perfect.
Right on the homepage.
So I'm going through what people are writing here. Number 25s, Corey Koser, former Saskatoon Blade. Coco. Doyle's checking in from Wendell Clarkson, Saskatoon. See you at Wendell's. December 14th can't come fast enough.
I know, I can't wait.
It's the Rush's home opener against the New England Black Wolves. Rems, have you been to a Rush game yet?
No, but I'm taking,
you gotta
big,
go.
I'm taking the big man this year for sure.
The driving force?
Yeah, we're going to be going up to a
great
game.
Spencer Rempel. So you're going to roll. I have a gift certificate for you from Baller's Rec Room, Remps, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Any parting words? We scratched the surface on the Warriors. I'll give you 2 minutes on the Sask Dub teams and just what's going on. Why are they not better?
Well, I think it's obvious why the Pats, Broncos and Warriors aren't better, because 2 years ago they completely sold out. All three teams saw themselves having a great opportunity to get to a Memorial Cup the same season that it was in Regina. So it was a unique year with unique circumstances. So I don't think anybody should be surprised. In fact, all three teams, it's going to be a while. It's going to be a while before they dig themselves out. And that's the risk that you have when you put all your chips in that situation. With the Blades, I think it's fairly obvious that the Kirby Dock thing threw that thing into a complete, you know, it shambles. I mean, they're not a bad hockey team. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're horrible, but
yeah,
they should have been a team that would have been amongst the best in the entire Western Hockey League, and clearly they're not. Now, in saying that, if one player makes that much of a difference, you probably weren't a championship team, you know, to begin with, but it certainly doesn't help. The Raiders, I mean, they're having a good year, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I think anybody by anybody's standards would say that the Prince Albert Raiders are probably about as good as everybody thought they would be. But you know, you could argue that in all four other cases, may not be, you know, meeting expectations. But in my mind, I never expected the Warriors, Pats, or Broncos to be very good because they're in a full-on rebuild. So, yeah, growing pains.
Great
and
analysis.
It's going to be ugly for a while.
Follow him on Twitter at Silver Fox Talks. You want to give him this gift card to Ballers?
You got it.
I can't wait. Full-on CFL chat with Robert Vanstone next hour. We'll be going deep on the Riders, so Rider fans, perk up. Plus, we'll be talking more on the coaching carousel. It's episode 125 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from a bunker in a field in Western Canada. Canada's only morning sports talk show is right here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming at the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.